Well, good morning to you. That was okay, but a little weak, all right? Let's try one more time. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Much, much better. Now we're awake. I want to thank Dr. Anderson for the privilege of being here today. I love Appalachian Bible College. I'm so grateful to the Lord that we have this institution here in our great state of West Virginia. And I was thinking as I was driving down this morning, I wonder how many preachers of the gospel and missionaries are serving both in our land and around the world today who were trained and equipped and prepared for ministry right here on this campus. And so I thank the Lord for you. I thank the Lord for all that God is doing here through Appalachian Bible College. And again, Dr. Anderson, thank you so much for the invitation to be here today. I'm just very excited to be here. And thank the Lord for that opportunity. Almost didn't make it this morning. I had a flat tire on the way down, but God sent along a state trooper right behind me, and between the two of us, we got it knocked out pretty quick, and so we're able to be here. So I'm thankful for state troopers today. I'm also thankful Dr. Anderson mentioned the special chapel you'll be having on Monday, and I recently became a chaplain in the National Guard, and for those of you who are serving and who have served, thank you. And for those of you who will be deployed, going downrange soon, boy, we will keep you in our prayers. I will tell you the fields are white unto harvest. I have some friends who are serving as chaplains overseas and hearing of souls coming to Christ regularly. So the fishing's good if you get to go. And if you are deployed, there are some folks whose hearts I believe the Lord will prepare. So we pray that God will keep you safe. Thank you for your service to our country, but may God use you to witness to those who really need the word of the Lord at this time. Our passage that we'll be preaching from this morning is Genesis 13. Would you turn there with me as we read together? Genesis 13, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 18, all right? And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Then the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land of the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. As we examine this passage this morning, just a few questions for you to consider. I want to ask you today, what is it that really motivates you? What is the primary driving force in your life? What is it that you value and prize and forms the basis for the choices you make and the decisions that you make in your life? You know, the Bible tells us, as Dr. Anderson read the passage earlier today, that we are not to look at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Later on there in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians in verse 7, Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So God's word is clear that he wants us as his people to value the eternal over the temporal, to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the earlier we learn this in our Christian lives, the better off we will be. And here you are, young people at a Bible college, and you've got basically your whole lives ahead of you. I know it's hard for you to see beyond this semester, let alone 10, 20, 30 years down the road. But the sooner you can learn this lesson in your life, young people, the more blessed you will be. This concept of what we value and valuing the eternal over the temporal has far-reaching implications. And we see it right here in the passage before us. And what I'd like for us to do as we kind of work our way through this passage today is to view this as Abram and Lot as a study in contrasts, okay? We have two men who have a similar situation and a decision that they need to make, and yet these two men come at it from totally different perspectives and from what I would consider totally different value systems, and the results and consequences of their decisions are vastly different. And here in front of us, the Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity to see what happens to the man who values the eternal and walks by faith, as opposed to the man who values the temporal and walks by sight. And there is a vitally, critically important lesson that all of us as God's people need to learn here this morning. And that is that we need to value the eternal over the temporal. And if we do that, then we will walk by faith and not by sight. The first thing I'd have us consider here this morning is the example of Abram. Abram symbolizes for us here, or represents for us here in this passage, the man who values the eternal over the temporal, the man who walks by faith and not by sight. And we see that in the way that he responds here to this situation. We see here there's a problem among the herdsmen. There are Lot's herdsmen. There are Abram's herdsmen. They both have great riches. The land could not sustain both of their herds and all of their possessions and all of their servants. There's only a limited amount of space and grazing land because, as Moses tells us, the Canaanite, the Perizzite are in the land. And so the herdsmen begin fighting over the limited grazing and pasture land. And so when confronted with this problem, Abram has a choice. He's the one who is the elder, if you will. He's the one who has the primary responsibility. It's really his call to make. And so when confronted with this problem, with this situation, Abram can choose to respond by looking at what will benefit him materially. He can choose to value the temporal and what will help him expand his herds, what will help him to grow the possessions that he already has. Or Abram can respond in faith and, trusting God, view the eternal and pretty much try to see what God would have him do. And to his credit, that's exactly what Abram does in this passage. We see here this proposal in verses 8 and 9. Based on his values of the eternal over the temporal, based upon faith rather than sight, Abram graciously makes this offer to Lot. And there are several things that we learn about Abram from this offer that he makes. He comes to Lot and he says, "Look, there are problems between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, and you know, we're brethren. I don't want there to be a problem between us." And the first thing we find about Abram is he values his relationship with Lot. Now, when people walk by sight and not by faith, and when people value the temporal over the eternal, typically they love things and use people. And if you and I ever are tempted, or if we're in the habit of manipulating and using people to advance ourselves, we are walking by sight. And we are valuing the temporal over the eternal. The souls of people are eternal, young people. And we love people and use things. We don't ever use people and love things. And Abram valued his relationship with Lot here. He says, "You know, we're brethren. I don't want this to come between us." He graciously defers to Lot. Abram, like I said earlier, it's his call to make. It's his right. Lot has kind of tagged along with Abram, and in the process, Lot has been blessed and has prospered greatly. And yet Abram here, although he has the right to make a decision, he graciously defers to Lot. He's very generous in the offer that he makes. When we consider the fact that he is older, that he has provided for Lot, not to mention the fact that God has already promised all the land to Abram, Abram says, Lot, you just make a choice. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you choose the left, I'll go to the right. And here, Abram, the father of the faithful, if you will, shows for us and demonstrates to us how a man who values eternal things over the temporal, how a man who walks by faith treats others. You know, in James chapter 3 and verse 17, James says that the wisdom that is from above is first peaceable. Then he goes on to say it's easily entreated, or it's approachable. Now sometimes, and I know those of you who are students here at the Bible College and you're learning so much about God's Word from these wonderful teachers, I know that you are never ever tempted to think that you know all there is to know about the Bible and about Christianity. And I know that none of you are ever in the position where if someone doubts that you know all there is to know, that all they have to do is ask you and you'll tell them everything that you know. I'm joking, of course, because when we go to Bible college and the Lord begins to teach us a lot of things, we haven't had the opportunity to have such concentrated study, and we're digging into God's Word and digging into these subjects, and we do begin to learn a lot. But sometimes a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And sometimes we become very opinionated. Now, don't get me wrong, it's right to have convictions and to know what we believe about God's Word and to stand up for what we believe about God's Word. But sometimes if we're arrogant, if we're very condescending, if we're patronizing towards others, if we're very domineering in the way that we want to try to convey truth or wisdom, you know, when we're that way, people aren't going to come to us and ask us for help, are they? The wisdom that is from above is peaceable. It's approachable. And there's a lot that we could learn here from Abram's example. He's very gracious. He's very generous. He, in a sense here, surrenders his rights for the sake of unity. And he displays here the true greatness of his faith and trust in the Lord. Now, God has promised the land to Abram, and Abram could possibly be thinking, look, I can't offer Lot anything because this is my land. So, Lot, go on back to Ur. Get out of here. But Abram has a faith in God that says, you know, God has promised the land. He's going to keep his promise. I can trust in him. I'm just going to commit this to the Lord. And what Lot chooses to do, I'll do otherwise. And so we see here a man who's responding to a circumstance by faith. The Bible tells us in chapter 13 and verse 4, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He here displays the true greatness of his faith and his trust in the Lord. And it's interesting to me to note that after he makes this offer to Lot, and in a moment we'll see how Lot responded, the Bible tells us here in these latter verses 14 through 17 that after all this happens, this is when God comes and reconfirms his promise to Abram. Verse 14, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look now from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. We see the Lord comes to Abram after Lot separated from him, after Abram had been so gracious and generous to Lot, after Lot had really been very inconsiderate and, could I say, rude towards Abram, when Abram might have been tempted to become bitter or envious. You know, there's a saying that we sometimes hear in our society that the good guys finish last. And the philosophy of the culture is you have to look out for yourself because no one else will. And so you've got to make sure that you look out for number one and take care of yourself. Listen, young people, when you belong to the Lord, you don't have to look out for yourself. You are in the safest, most secure place by being in the hands of your Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of you. Do you understand that? You belong to Him. He's going to take care of you. And when you honor Him and obey Him and walk by faith and seek to please Him in your life, He's going to take care of you. Now, it may not always be what you want when you want it, but you have to answer the question right here, right now, can I trust God? And the answer, of course, is yes. In fact, trusting God is a far greater choice than trying to take matters into your own hands and looking out for yourself. Now, after Abram is so gracious and generous, after he responds to this choice with an attitude of faith, with valuing the eternal, God comes to him and gives him these precious promises once again. I love what Matthew Henry says of this passage. That which God has to show us is infinitely better and more desirable than anything that the world has to offer our view. The prospects of an eye of faith are much more rich and beautiful than those of an eye of sense, or what we would say an eye of sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, because it's true. What God has to offer us is infinitely more valuable and precious than what the world has to offer. So we see here the example of Abram. He's faced with a situation. Rather than valuing the temporal, he values the eternal. Rather than walking by sight and just responding by what he can see and what he stands to gain, he walks by faith. He commits it all to the Lord, and he makes this generous offer to Lot. Lot chooses, and yet God comes to Abram and says, Abram, I know what you have done, but I want to tell you again, I'm confirming my promise to you. All the land is yours. And your seed is going to be like the sand on the seashore. Now, let's look secondly here at our second example, and that is the example of Lot, as we kind of study these contrasts here. Lot is the opposite in this situation of Abram. Lot is the man who values the temporal. Lot is the man who's walking by sight. And he comes to this situation and views it from a totally different perspective. And the results are far different in Lot's case. First of all, what are the concerns determining his decision? If you go back to Genesis 13 and you look at verse 10, there it is. Lot lifted up his what? His eyes and beheld. You see, Lot made his decision based upon what he could see. Here's a well-watered land. Moses says that before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was like the garden of the Lord. It was like the garden of Eden. It was like the land of Egypt. And boy, Lot saw it, and he thought, that's what I want. And you know, when we walk by sight and not by faith, we're going to be tempted. And if you look at God's Word at the various episodes when people were tempted, it began with looking, didn't it? Eve, you know, she saw the fruit. Achan, he saw the treasures there in Jericho. In fact, John describes for us that part of this world system is the lust of the eyes. That's why it's important to walk by faith and not by sight. Lot, first of all, was concerned with what he could see. Secondly, Lot was very selfish and greedy in his decision. Who had provided for him? Who had brought him along? Lot had benefited at Abram's expense, really. The problem that they were having between the striving and the contention of the herdsmen, really, whose fault is that? Abram had been very generous. Abram had provided for Lot. Lot had grown, really, and had benefited by Abram's generosity. And here Abram makes this offer to Lot, and how does Lot respond? Does he consider his older uncle? Does he consider that he has benefited from his generosity? Does he, in kindness and respect, defer? And say, oh, no, no, Uncle Abram, you need to make that decision. Whenever you say no, Lot said, I've got this opportunity to get mine. I'm taking it. He was greedy. He was selfish. He had really no regard for this elder relative whom he should have respected. Furthermore, it was a decision solely based upon the temporal. It was a decision solely based on material values. And by Lot's choice here, we see what matters to him, don't we? Can't you see it? Lot wanted to have more herds. Lot wanted more wealth. And he was looking out for himself and how he could benefit from this circumstance. And his decision is based solely on the temporal, the material, what he could see, what he stood to gain in his own heart and mind. He had no consideration at all. From what I can tell, Lot had no consideration whatsoever for the spiritual and eternal issues at stake here. In fact, there's a great difference between what Lot saw in verse 10. Genesis 13, 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. That's what Lot saw. But look at what God saw in verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And if there had been an ounce of spiritual discernment in Lot's body, he would have seen that, wouldn't he? But he didn't. Why? Because he's a man who values the temporal over the eternal. He's walking by sight and not by faith. The consequences of his decision stand in great stark contrast to the results of Abram's decision. Just listen to them as I list them. What were some of the consequences? Well, he chose the well-watered plains out of concerns for his flocks and herds. He separated himself from Abram, by the way. You know, Abram no doubt was a godly influence in his life, and I think Lot saw here a chance to get out on his own and to advance and prosper himself, and so he was all too happy, it would appear, to do that. He dwelt in the cities of the plain, verse 12. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, or as the New American Standard says, he moved his tents as far as Sodom. Then in verse 12, we find him living in Sodom. Eventually, in chapter 19, he's at the gate of Sodom. In chapter 19, we see he's willing to offer his own daughters to appease the wickedness of the men of Sodom. We find also his daughters, other daughters, married the men of Sodom. Eventually, what happened to Lot? He lost his wife. He lost all his possessions. He was disgraced by his daughters. And when we look at Lot at the end of his life, we see a pathetic, pathetic, pathetic scene. Here he is in a cave. He's lost all that's near and dear to him, living with the shame and disgrace is what has taken place with him and his daughters. Now, I don't understand it. If I were to make a judgment and an assessment of Lot's life, I would consider him a lost and unregenerate man. But yet, Peter tells us that his soul was righteous and that the sinfulness of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. This is a warning to us. We, as God's people, you can be a born-again believer and walk by sight and not by faith. You can be a born-again believer and value the temporal over the eternal. And so there's a warning for us. Lot, to me, speaks of those who are saved, as Paul describes, yet so as by fire. They just barely get out of the burning building before it collapses. And that's not the way we want to enter glory, young people. I hope and I pray that that's not the way you want to see your life end up. Wouldn't that be terrible? Wouldn't you hate to be Lot? And I wonder, and of course I'm speculating here, Scripture doesn't tell us, but you have to wonder if as Lot was in that cave, reflecting on all the terrible consequences that he is now having to deal with in his life, if maybe his mind didn't run back to that day when Abram gave him a choice and he made a foolish decision and a wrong choice because he had the wrong values in his life. And if he couldn't help but think, I made a stupid decision and a bad choice because I was more concerned about my flocks and my herds and what I stood to gain rather than what was eternal and what would please God. Now, if you don't want to end your life with that kind of regret, then you have to determine right now, at this stage in your life, that you're going to value the eternal over the temporal. That you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. If you're taking some notes this morning, just draw a little line down the middle of your page, not, you know, just a little section there, and on the left hand, write the name Abram, and on the right hand, write the name Lot. And under Abram's name, write eternal values. And under Lot's name, write temporal values. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go fast, all right? You may not be able to write all this down, but I'm just going to give you a few contrasts here between these two. Abram walked by faith. Lot walked by sight. Abram was gracious and generous. Lot was greedy and selfish. Abram, and you'll have to summarize the verse. Hebrews says he looked for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In other words, Abram looked for God's city. Lot, on the other hand, was concerned about man's city. Abraham's city was built by God. Lot's city was destroyed by God, wasn't it? And finally here, Abram obeyed in faith. Lot set his heart upon what he could see. And in the end, God blessed Abram. He was given the land. He was given the promise. But in the end, Lot lost everything. except his soul, as I understand Scripture properly. Now, the lessons for us are given in God's Word. And in closing, would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4? Another passage that comes to our minds is Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I'd also give for your consideration Colossians 3, verses 1 through 2, where Paul says, since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's Paul saying, value the eternal, not the temporal. Walk by faith and not by sight. And then here in 2 Corinthians 4, as we meditated upon it earlier in the service, verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Look down at verse 7. "For we walk by," chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, young people, God's word is clear. We need to value the eternal, not the temporal. To value the temporal is to just walk by sight, what I can sense, what I can experience here. But to value the eternal is to walk by faith. And you're going to be called upon throughout your life to make very important and significant decisions. Whom will you marry? Where will you serve the Lord? What job or career path will you follow? Where will you live? And you will be tempted to make that decision based on only what you can see and what has temporal value. I beg of you, I plead with you, don't do that. You take the time to lay those decisions before the Lord. And you make that choice and you make those decisions based on what is eternal and what you can't necessarily see and handle and touch and feel and know here. But you walk by faith and you trust God to show you what He would have you do. You make Him your first priority and your first concern. And you won't have to live with the regret later on of making a foolish and unwise decision. Value the eternal over the temporal. Lot was only concerned with what he could see, with what he thought would benefit him in the present, and he lost everything. Abram made his choice by faith based on the eternal. He was concerned with what was right, with what would please God, and God richly blessed him and honored him for it, didn't he? And so I pray that God will make us to help us to make the right choices in our lives based on faith and not by sight. May He grant to us to hold to eternal values and not temporal values, to the praise and honor and glory of His name. Let's bow our heads for a closing word of prayer. Father, I pray that you will take the word as it has been shared today, that it would be alive and powerful and mighty in its working, that the Holy Spirit will take it and make the application that needs to be made in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, as these young people, some of them here are already living with regrets over wrong decisions and poor choices, and some of them have already suffered some of the consequences of walking by sight and of valuing the temporal over the eternal. I pray, Lord, that you will help them to continue to seek things above, to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, other young people are struggling and are maybe tempted and tried and are kind of hanging in the balance as they see the things that the world has to offer and they think that that's what will satisfy them. Lord, I pray that you might spare them the difficulties, the suffering that results when we make choices based on what we can see and based on temporal values. Lord, bless these young people. Help them. Help us all to be more like Abram in this passage, to be men and women who walk by faith and not by sight. Help us, Father, to live with eternity's values in mind, and so to please and honor you. We ask it in Jesus' name.